Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Shabbos Daf Tzadi Gimel. Don't forget to click on the daf option in order to view a marked daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the daf before the shiur. And even better, order your personal volume of this maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. We begin today's shiur in the middle of daf Tzadi Gimel Amud Aleph. You will notice in the marked Gemaras a bow tie shape that follows a two dots, the bow tie surrounding the expression Omar Mar. Before we learn the Gemara, we'll note on the side of our Gemara the Mivneh, the structural note, where a bow tie is featured, and we've noted these are Tzitutim Mehamokor Le'el Tzadi Beis Amud Beis. You'll see a bow tie shape here, and on Amud Beis of Tzadi Gimel Amud Beis, on the upper third of the Amud of the page, you will also see a second bow tie shape. These are quotes from the source that we learned during our previous shiur. So, that having been said, we also will note the topic heading, the nosei that we're about to learn, concerns Misayeya Ein Boy Mamish, the concept of someone assisting something, someone in the violation of a Meleches Shabbos. His assistance is not considered something of significance, and he will not be guilty, being that he is assisting someone that is able on his own to do the melacha. The Gemara, Omar Mar, Ze Yochol Veze Eino Yochol Divrei HaKol Chayav. You'll notice we have an arrow to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text, the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text, with a Tzadi Beis Amud Beis indicator, so that if you have Tzadi Beis Amud Beis in front of you, you will notice the corresponding arrow toward the bottom of the page with a Tzadi Gimel Amud Aleph reference. So it is on that line over there that this appeared, where it describes one who is Yochol, is able to do on his own the Meleches Shabbos, and joining him as someone who is unable on his own to do it, everyone holds he is guilty. So the Gemara asks the obvious question. It's called the pronoun problem. Hey, minayu mechayev. Who is chayev? Which one is chayev? The source says everyone holds he is chayev, but, well, who is the he? Omar Rav Chisda, ze sheyochol. Rav Chisda says everyone is in agreement that the one who is able to do the malacha on his own and in effect is doing it, he is the guilty one. De'i ze she'eino yochol my kovid. If you were to think that it's the one who is not able to do the malacha, so what is he doing? So it's obvious that it's the person who is yochol is the one that's chayav. Omar le Rav Hamnuna. Rav Hamnuna, it comes to explain that one might have thought otherwise. If you will ask the question of what is it, what is he doing, namely the one who is Eino Yochol, what is he doing, to call Messiah Behadeh? Well, he is assisting, he's helping. In other words, if you have an item that weighs 50 pounds, and you have a weightlifter who's capable of lifting the 50 pounds on his own, and someone else comes along and helps him. So we would all agree that even though the 50 pounds is being lifted by a weightlifter, it's a little bit easier if someone else is helping along with it. He's misayeya. So what Rav Hamnuna is telling us is that I might have thought that the Eino Yachol is also party to the offense, and maybe he should also be guilty. Tosfos points out that Rav Hamnuna is not coming to suggest that the person who is Yochol should be exempt. But if you will ask, well, of what value is the Eino Yochol in the story, so Rav Hamnuna will tell you, I'll tell you of what value he is. He's Messiah, he's assisting. Omar Le, Rav Chisda responds, Misayeya ein bo mamish. The fact that he's merely offering assistance, that has no substance as far as the halacha is concerned. Omar of Zvid, Mishmei de Rova, Af Anan Nami Tanina. Before we go further, let's glance at the side of the Gemara under the Mivneh heading where a triangle is featured. The triangles that appear in this sukya are Nisyonos Lahochiach de Mesaya Ein Bo Mamish. The Gemara will attempt to show from different sources that the Mesaya, the assister, is of no significance as far as halacha is concerned. There will be an inverted triangle that appears, and that's a nisayon lidchos. It's an attempt to dismiss the support the Gemara tries to bring to the idea of nisayon bo mamish, but that too will be deflected as you can follow the position of the triangles as the Gemara unfolds. The numbering that appears to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text with triangles surrounding the numbers, these are each time the new attempt that the Gemara brings to support this idea of Misayeya Ein Bo Mamish. So Rav Zvid quoting Rava says, Af Anan Nami Tanina, we have a Tanaic source that supports this idea, that Misayeya Ein Bo Mamish, Hoyo Yoshev Agabi Hamita. We should point out that this source is coming from the topic of a Zav. A Zav is a man that experienced a certain type of body emission. That emission makes him tome. And it is also known that items or articles, vessels that he sits upon or lies upon or puts his weight on them, and if they're designed for reclining, etc., they're designed for that type of activity, the items become tome. They become an av hatuma, in fact. It's called Medrash, Tumas Medrash, or Moshev Hazav. So, with that background in mind, we continue the source. Hoyo Yoshev Agabi Hamita. Hazav is sitting on a bed. The Arba Talios Tachas Ragle Hamita. And there are four clothing articles under each one of the four legs of the bed. Tameos. The Talios are all, each one is Tome. A bed cannot stand on three legs, so that each leg is essential for the bed, for the bed support, and the articles of clothing are also supporting the zav, being that they're under the legs of the bed. Rabbi Shimon Mitahir. Rabbi Shimon says that the articles are clothing, and this is in line with Shitas Rabbi Shimon of Ze Eino Yochol V'Ze Eino Yochol that we've learned before. We learned in our previous shiur that Rabbi Shimon holds in a case where the subunits or the individual parts, each one cannot do something on its own, and they do it together, they will be exempt, as is the case with Meleches Shabbos. So too with the case of Tuma. We continue in the source. Hoyo Rochev Al Gabi Behemo, the Dalet Talios Tachas Ragle HaBehemo. A Zav is riding on an animal, and there are four articles of clothing under each one of the four legs of the animal. Tohoros, each article is Tohor, Mipnei Sheyecholo Lamoid Al Shalosh. The animal, since it is able to stand on three legs, as opposed to a bed, so the Talios, under each leg, we will say that the leg it is standing on right now, it's really not necessary for the animal to have its leg on the ground at all. So therefore, being that it could stand on three of its four legs, we will metahir each one of the talios. The Rashi points out that this reminds us of the case of Ze Yochol V'Ze Yochol. The Gemara continues, V'amai, why are the talios under the animal's legs tohoros? Ho komesai b'havi hadodi, is it not so that the fourth leg, whichever one it might be, is helping out? is helping support the animal, and yet the source says that the talios are tor. Lav mishum damrinan. Is it not because we say that misayeya ain bo mamish, that the fact that it's offering assistance or support or extra support is of no halachic significance? Omar Rav Yehuda mi diskarta. So as you can see, there's an inverted triangle that appears now, and he says Rav Yehuda says the olam ei malach misaya yesh bo mamish. I will tell you that a misayeya has significance. The shiny hocha, the case of the animal is different. The okra lo legamri. The reason for the tahara of the talios is because there the animal's fourth leg, whichever one it might be, can be okra, means picked up from the ground, legamri, completely. So it's in that position, the fourth leg, if it were lifted above the ground, it's not misaya. It's not even being Messiah. It's ki'ilu, it's as if it's not there. The Gemara, though, asks, this is a response to what was just said. The kevon de zimnin okraha, de zimnin okraha. Since the nature of the animal is that sometimes it picks up this leg and sometimes it picks up that leg. I don't know which leg is the one that will be okra. Leheve kezav hamisapech. Why should the case of the animal be no different than the case of the zav, who is mishapech, means he is flipping over, he is rolling from bed to bed. Milo tnan. Do we not have a Tanaic source? And before we go further, we should have pointed out that from the most recent triangle, the word vekivon, we have a long answer. This is a response to the attempted deflection. So, and that's why the triangle is pointed point up, because we're eventually going to reinstate the support to the idea of Messiah ain bo mamish. So the case of zav hamishapech, in other words, if the svora of Rav Yehuda mi diskarta is to be taken seriously because it's okulo lagamri, but since we don't know which leg it is at any given time, let it be viewed as the case of zav hamisapech. Milo tanan. Do we not have the following teaching? Zav shoyemutel al chamisha safsolim, o al chamisha pundois. A zav who is lying on five, let's say, benches that are lined up one next to the other, and the zav is lying on these five benches. Leorkon tameim, lerochbon tahorin. If he, the zav, is lying parallel to the length of each one, so then each one will be tomei. If, however, the zav is lying perpendicular, in other words, at one time he's actually on all five benches because he's lying perpendicular to the benches that are lined up parallel to one next to the other. In the case of Lurachban, so the majority of the Zav is not on any one of the benches. If he is, however, lying Laorkon, in other words, his height or his length is parallel to the length of the benches, and he's lying on each one of the benches, in other words, he's moving from bench to bench, so each one at any given time is holding his entire weight. And that's the reason for them to become Tomei. Yoshein, sofek misapech alehen. Let's say he is sleeping on the bench, and he's not. We don't know for sure if he's on each one or not. So there's a sofek. There's a doubt. Maybe in his sleep he rolls from one bench to the other. And what's the ruling in the case of the zav and the benches? Tamein, the benches will be declared tamei. So therefore, by the animal and its legs, should each leg not be considered any less than the case of the benches, and each leg represents a case of sofek elolav. So if that be the case, that each leg is considered a case of doubt, of sofek, we saw that we should mitame, and yet in the source above with the animal, it said tohor. So elolav mishum damrina must be in the case of the animal legs. We say misayeya ein bo mamish, because any one leg of the four legs is at best is helping out. And since it's merely helping out and it's not doing the act completely, it's not any one leg is not supporting the animal completely. So each leg, when you view it, it can be viewed as the fourth leg. And therefore, it's only an assisting factor. It's misayeya, and that's why the talios under the four legs of the animal are considered tahoros. So at this point then, we are reinstating what we try to at the outset where our triangle number one appeared, that we support the idea from the source of the animal and its four legs with four talios under it, tahoros, and that's a function of misayeya ein bo mamish. Omar Papi Mishmei Derava Af Anan Nami Tanina. We have a Tanaic source, and it's a second source to support the idea of Masayim Bo Mamish. The Gemara continues at the top of Omid Beis. Rav Yossi Omer Hasus. Now, once again, we should point out we're talking about an animal. We'll talk here about a sus and later about a chamor. And a zav is on them, is on either a sus or a chamor, and there are articles of clothing under the animal's feet. So the source, Rabbi Yossi says, hasus mitame es al yodav. The yodav of a sus, literally the arms, are the front legs. So therefore, if you have, let's say, you have talios under the front legs of the sus, and a zav is on the animal, so the two talios under the front legs will become tame. However, under its back legs, it won't be tame, and the chamor is just the opposite. A chamor al raglov, the chamor supports itself through its hind legs. Shemesh enes asus al yodav, the chamor al raglov. The support of a sus is by its weight or its pressure on its front legs, and the chamor on its hind legs. The outgrowth of this is that in the case of a sus, let us say you had talios under its raglov, they would be tohor. And in the case of a chamor, if you had talios under its front legs, it would be tohor. And on that we ask v'amai, why do you say that they should, that the talios should be tohor? Is it not so that the other legs, the other set of legs, are at least helping out, helping the animal support itself? And yet we say that talios under the subsidiary legs remain tohor. So lav mishum damrinon, is it not so that we say misaya ein bo mamish? The fact that it's there only as a support mechanism is of no significance, and therefore the talios under the other set of legs will be tohor. Omar Rav Ashi Af Anan Ami Tanina. So Rav Ashi says we have a Tanaic source as well to support the idea of misayeya ein bo mamish. Rabbi Eliezer Oimer Ragloi Achas Al Hakli. This source is dealing with a Kohen in service of the Beis HaMikdash, and he's expected to be standing with his two legs on the floor of the Azorah when offering the sacrifices. In this case, he is described as having one leg on a vessel and one leg on the floor, or raglo achas al ho'even v'raglo achas al haritzpo, or one leg on a stone that's not part of the floor, and the other leg on the floor. Royin, we evaluate. Kol she'ilu yinotel hakli v'tinotel ho'even. If the vessel on which one of his feet are standing, or the stone on which one of his feet are standing, is removed, yochol lamod al raglo achas, he will not fall over. He'll be able to continue standing on his other foot that's on the ritzpa, on the floor. Avodosik Shera. Then his sacrificial service, his Beis HaMikdash, Avodah's Beis HaMikdash activity will be acceptable, v'imlav, if he cannot support himself on that one leg that's properly positioned, but rather would fall over by my removing the vessel or the stone, then Avodah's Psula, his Avodah will not be acceptable. V'amai, why is it though, in the first case where he would continue standing on the floor, why is Avoda acceptable? Is it not so that he is being assisted by standing with his one leg on the vessel or on that stone? And that's not proper if he's not standing directly on the floor, and yet we say his avod is okay. Lav mishum damrinon, is it not because we say mesayeya ein bo mamish, the fact that he is being assisted, that is of no significance, and therefore it doesn't reduce the quality or the value of his avoda. Omar Ravina, af ana nami tnina. We have a fourth source to support this idea. Kibel biyamin. This is again referring to the Kohen Gadol who is accepting the blood of a sacrifice, and he's holding the vessel in his right hand as he is supposed to. But his left hand is supporting his right hand. That's Umesayosmoil, the left hand Misayoso is helping him. Avodosok Shera. His avoda is acceptable. We should have pointed out that avoda is expected, a service in the Beis HaMikdash is expected to be done by the right hand, not the left hand. Here he's doing it by the right hand, but his left hand is supporting him or assisting him. The avoda is kshera v'amai. Why is the avoda kshera? Ho'ko misayeh bahadi adodi. Is it not so that the left hand is supporting him, is supporting his avoda? And yet it's kosher. Lav mishum damrinon, is it not because we say misayeya ein bo mamish? The fact that it's merely supporting is not significant, and therefore he is considered as doing the avoda biyamin with the right hand, which is what he is supposed to do. Shma mino. So this is conclusive that misayeya ein bo mamish. We continue in the Gemara with a quote from the source back on Tzadi Beis, Omid Beis, the star to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text, tells you to align this with the star back on Tzadi Beis, and you will see where this quote comes from. Under our Nosei topic heading on the side of the Gemara, we have written the following. Ze Yochol Veze Yochol. Two people, each one on his own, could do the Malacha. Rabbi Meir Mechayev. Rabbi Meir says that he is guilty. The Gemara will ask about Shi'ur Lozeh V'Shi'ur Lozeh, Oy Shi'ur Echod L'Kulam. When we speak about Malachas, there is often a size or a quantity associated with the Malacha in question. So let us say you have two people, each one of whom can do the Malacha, but both are doing it. Rabbi Meir holds he is guilty. How much must be done in order for each one to be guilty? The Gemara asks. First we read the quote, Omar Mar, Ze Yochol Ze Yochol, Rabbi Meir Mechayev. Ibayaloh, the question is asked. Aleph, two sides of the question. Aleph, you see, and then the Odilma is squiggle underline as it is a transition expression to Beis, the second side of the question. Bo'inon Shi'ur Lozeh V'Shi'ur Lozeh. Do we require, in order for each one to be guilty, a quantity requisite of the Malacha per person? Oidilma Shi'ur Echad L'Kulon, or one quantity is sufficient to cause both of them to be guilty? Rav Chisdav Ram Nam Nuno, we have a machlokes. Chad Omar Shi'ur Lozeh V'Shi'ur Lozeh. One says that you need to have a full quantity per person. The Chad Omar Shi'ur Echad L'Kulon, that one quantity done by all of them will be enough to create guilt. Omar Rav Papa Mishmei Derava Af Anan Nami Tanina. Now you will see a series, and the series is represented by the double underlines that introduce sources, and each one of these will be brought in by the Gemara to show that Shiur Echod Lekulon is enough. In other words, like that which we dashed, underlined just before this, and we've also numbered the sources as they appear down the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text. We've numbered 1 through 4. So the Gemara continues, trying to show that Shiur Echod Lekulon, in other words, showing one of the two sides, one of the two, to support one of the two Amoraic opinions. So, Afanan Amitinina, and you'll notice that this source may sound familiar. We just had it before in the Sugya of Messiah in Bomamish. Here it says, Hoyo Yoshev Agabi Mita, a Zav is sitting on a bed, the Arba Talios Tachas Arba Ragle Hamita, and there are four articles of clothing under one under each leg. Tameos, they are all Tameos. Mimne She'ein Yechola Lamod Al Sholosh. The bed cannot stand on three legs. So each leg is necessary for the bed's position or maintenance. Ve'amai, liboy shiur ziva lozeh, v'shiur ziva lozeh. Now, in order to appreciate this, we will look in the Rashi. Shiur ziva, Rashi says, shiachbid rubo alov, that you would have to have rove of the zav on any one leg. And in order to create tuma for the talios, you would vitzorich lios kan arba zavim. You would expect there to be four zavim, and yet we don't say that. So the reason, therefore, that we don't require four zavim is lav mishum de'amrinon. Is it not because we say shiur echod lekulon, that one quantity is enough for all the participants? In this case, the participants being each bed, each leg of the bed. The Gemara continues. Omar Rav Nachman bar Yitzchok af ananami tanina. We have a source to support our thesis. Tzvi shenichnas lebayis v'noal echod befonov chayov. A deer entered a house and a singular person sat in front of the doorway and thereby prevented the deer from leaving the house. So that is considered trapping, leches tzeda, and he's therefore chayav. Noalo shnayim turim. If two people block the door, so they will be exempt. Rashi points out here, Nolo Shnayim Pturim, Reb Yehuda, who this is in accordance with Reb Yehuda, that says, Depotar Bishneim Yecholim, where you have each one could have blocked the door, and two blocked the door, so they are both exempt, based on Reb Yehuda's Shita of Zeh Yochol Vezeh Yochol. The source continues, though, with another scenario, another possibility. Lo yochol echot lunol v'noalu shnayim chayavim. Neither one is enough. It's a wide opening, we'll say, and therefore neither one can block the door on his own, but the two of them together block the door. So we say both are chayav. And now, how many deers are there in this case? There's only one deer in the house, and yet two people are doing the malacha. Ve'amai, why are they chayav? Liboy shiur tzedo lazeh v'shiur tzedo lazeh. Why not require a deer per person? And yet we don't say that. Lav mishum damrinon, is it not because we say shiur echod lekulan, that it's sufficient to have one quantity for all of them? Omar Ravino, afanan ami tanino. Ravina brings a third source. Hashutfin shegonvu v'tavchu chayovim. If two people steal an animal and then slaughter it, so they have to pay the Torah requirement of four times, or possibly five times, the value of the animal that they stole and slaughtered. So they have two partners, shutfin, or partners in crime. They'll be chayav for the slaughtering of one animal. Ve'amai, why are they chayav? Liboy shiur tevicho lazeh v'shiur tevicho lazeh. if you have two people slaughtering, why not say that you have to have two animals stolen and slaughtered? And yet we don't say that. Lav mishum damrinon, is it not because we say shiur echad lekulam, that one quantity is enough to mechayev the multiple participants? V'omar Ravashi, af anan nami tanina. Ravashi has a source, and it's interesting. In the as the Gemara will unfold, we'll see that his source is challenged. But he says, Shnayim shotsiu kana shogardi chayovin. Two people carry out one. Kona shogardi is one of the tools used in the weaving process. Two people carry out this rod of the gardi is the weaving process. They're chayav v'amai liboy shiur hoitzol ozeh v'shiur hoitzol ozeh. Why don't we say that we should require two poles? Lav mishum damrinon shiur echad lekulan. Is it not so that we in fact say that one rod, one shiur, is enough for both of them, that one quantity is enough to mechayev both people? Omar le Rav Acha brei de Rava le Ravashi. Dilma, these are attempts, these house shapes are attempts to derail the source as a support for the idea of shiur achas lekulan. The Gemara says, maybe the Dilma is but. In the case of this kona shogardi, it's a flammable material. We'll say it's in the general realm of wood. And in the case of wood, the shiur for the iser hoitzah, the quantity for the prohibition of carrying outside, is the amount of wood enough to cook up a beitza kala, a chicken's egg. A fig quantity of chicken egg, and you have that in this. You have enough to cook up two eggs. Being they have two people carrying it out, so in fact there is a shiur lezeh. The Gemara says, Im Cain, if the kona shogardi was viewed as fuel, then l'shaminon kona di'alma, then the source should have taught about a standard or an unqualified type reed. Maishna the gardi, why is the source featuring specifically the weaver's kona? So it must be that we're featuring the weaver's kona, not as that it does not represent fuel. And therefore, we go back to our proof that you have one shiur for two people. The Gemara asks, "V'dilma the isbe kedei larog mapa lezeu kedei larog mapa lezeh." Maybe this tool has in it enough capacity for weaving a cloth for one and a cloth for the other. In other words, there is really two quantities here, and that's why they are chayav when they carry it out, because you have a shiur lezeh, a shiur lezeh. Elo mehal leko lemashmino. So here the Gemara points out that from this source of shnei shotziu kona shogardi chayoven, we cannot prove conclusively that shiur echad lekulan is sufficient. Tani tano kamei de Rav Nachman. Someone stated a Tanaic source in the presence of Rav Nachman. Shnayim shotziu kona shogardi pturin, Rabbi Shimon mechayev. If two people carry out the gardi rod, so they are exempt, and Rabbi Shimon holds culpability. The Gemara asks, Klapi Laya, where are you going? In which direction are you going? Things seem to be reversed. In other words, Rabbi Shimon, if anyone, he is the one that would say there is exemption in the case of two people that do one malacha. We know that from our previous shiur that Rabbi Shimon is the, we'll call the lenient opinion in this, where multiple people are performing a malacha. So the Gemara answers, resolves the problem. Elo, Emo, rather state the source, chayovin, Rabbi Shimon poter, that the Tanakhama holds that Shnaim Shotziu Kon Shugardi are chayov, and Rabbi Shimon is the opinion of leniency. Hamotzi ochlin pochos mikashur bekli, someone who carries out food less than the required quantity for a Shabbos violation. That means, in the case of food, we generally say that the shiur ochlin for Easter Hotzah is a grogeres size, a dried fig size. So here he's carrying out something, let's say, an olive size of food, which is less than a grogeres, in a vessel, and he's carrying it from his house to the street. Potter af ala kli, he is exempt even for with regard to having carried out the vessel. In other words, as far as the food in the vessel is concerned, well, it's less than the quality to create guilt. As far as the vessel, though, the Mishnah says he's exempt even for the vessels. Why? Shakli tfeilolo, because the vessel is subsidiary to the oichlin, to the food. And if for the food he is exempt, so for the vessel he will also be exempt. Es hachai b'mita. This is a case of a person carrying a living person on a bed, and he's carrying him from the house to the street. Potur afalamita, he'll be exempt even with regard to the bed. Shamita tfeilolo, the bed is subsidiary to the person. Es ames bemita chayav, if however he carries out a corpse on a bed, so he will be guilty. V'chein kezayas min ames, u'kezayas min avela, u'kadosh min asheretz chayav. Likewise, if he carries out an olive quantity of corpse meat, or an olive quantity of dead animal, nevela, and a lentil's worth, a size, an adosha size of sheretz meat, he will be guilty. And Rabbi Shimon poter, Rabbi Shimon, consistent with his well-known shita that malocha shein esrucha l'gufa is poter, this is a case, the case of the mace particularly, is a Rashi says even a full mace he will be exempt, because the person's kavona is not to do what the malacha dictates. The malacha of hoitzah is you're interested in the item arriving at its destination. That's your interest in when it comes to hoitzah. In the case of carrying a corpse out of a house, it's not that you're interested in the corpse to be in the street. Your concern is that the corpse gets out of the house, and as such, it's called a malacha. But it's she'enot tzricha legufo, because as far as the motions are concerned, so a malacha is being done. However, it's not needed legufo. It's not needed for its original designed mishkan purpose. Mishkan meaning the building of the mishkan. Activities represent what eventually is termed Meleches Shabbos. Rashi explains, Reb Shimon Poter, Afilu b'meis sholem, even if one carries out a complete mace in a bed, Davi melocha she'etzucha legufa, it is a melocha that's not needed for its original purpose. V'chom locha she'etzucha, elo l'salka me'alov, if you are doing, in this case of Haitzah, your only concern is just getting it away from you, an emphasis, away from me, not with concern where it ends up. Have a malocha shena tzricha legufa. That is what it's termed. Debirtsono, if it were up to the person himself, lo bolo, he wouldn't have wanted it to be in the first place. Velohoya tzorech lo, hilkoch lav mleches machshavasi the Reb Shimon. Since it's something that in the first place, this person, if you give him the option that a person shouldn't die in my house, you'd say I would have preferred it, the circumstances not having arisen in the first place. That makes it a malocha she'eino tzricha legufo, and Reb Shimon says that it's lacking what's called meleches machsheves, it's lacking the significance of a malocha, and therefore he's exempt. The Gemara, Tana Rabbanan, Amotzi Ochlin Keshi'ur. A person carries out foodstuffs with the required quantity. Im bekli, if he carries it out in a vessel, chayov al ha'ochlin upoter al hakli, He is guilty for carrying the food out, but he's not considered guilty with regard to the vessel. V'im hoyo kli tzorech lo, if it's a vessel that he needs in the new destination, in other words, so he's carrying out a vessel that he will eventually need to use in that at its destination. So chayav af al kli, he is guilty not only for the food that he carried out, but for the vessel as well. The Gemara asks a question: Shema mino, should we conclude from here that oishel shnei zeisechelu behelam echot chayav shtayim? That if a person were to eat two olive quantities of chaylev, chaylev is a forbidden section of an animal, that one who eats it inadvertently will have to bring a sin offering. So should we conclude from what we just learned, where a person carries out a shiur ochlin and the vessel? We mentioned in the source that if he needs the vessel there in the new place, he'll be chayev for, he did one act of carrying, then he's chayev for both elements, for the food and the vessel. So likewise, if someone did ate two zeisim in one state of lack of awareness, that's called helem echod, he didn't become aware in the interim between his eatings, so it's considered like one act of eating, chayev shtayim, he therefore will be chayev two sin offerings. Omar Rav Sheshis. Rav Sheshis says, no, you can't conclude the case of Ochal Shnei Zeisachem Ve'Elmecho Chayev Shtayim from this particular source. Hocha B'mayaskin, here in the source that we say he's guilty for the Kli as well, is Kigon Sheshogag, we're at the top of Tzadi Dalet Amar Aleph, Sheshogag Al Ha'Oichlin, he was mistaken with regard to the food. In other words, he wasn't aware that it was Shabbos, or he wasn't aware that there was food in there, or food of enough to mechayev him. The hazid ala kli, and he intentionally violated Shabbos with regard to the vessel. So he wasn't aware of the food, but he was aware of the vessel. And when it says chayev in the source, it meant chayev misa, is chayev capital, a capital punishment for having carried the vessel out b'mezid. Maskif lo Rav Ashi. Rav Ashi, though, asks, how can you say that that's the point of the source? V'ha af al ha-kli kotani. It says, even for the kli. In other words, in addition to whatever chiyuv there is on the oichlim, it will be chayv also for the kli. But the way you described it was that he was shogig on the oichlim, so he's not chayv a capital offense on the oichlim. Whatever he's chayv for the kli is in addition to what he's chayv for the oichlim. Therefore, the lashon of the source, af ala kli, will preclude Rav Sheshis' scenario. The question then is, well, should we therefore, yes, conclude, ochal shnei zeisachem helem echad is chay of two chatois, is chay of two sin offerings? No. That we're not going to conclude. Elo omar Rav Ashi, kegoyin sheshogag bozeh ubozeh, v'noidalo v'chozer v'noidalo. He was shogeg with regard to both the food and the vessel. He then became aware that he had carried out food of a significant shiur, and then he became aware on a separate awareness with regard to the vessel. So the question here, the issue here is what causes the need for bringing separate chatois? So the Gemara says, "Ubeplukted the Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish." As far as the source with regard to that we say is chayav also for the kli, how to get him to be chayav also for the kli? It's not because he ate the shnei zeisachem behelam echad that makes him chayav, or that he did the two acts in one state of lack of awareness that he's chayav. That's not the case. That's not enough to make him chayav shtayim. But rather, he became aware of each one separately, and this is pointed out by Rashi, because when the Gemara here, the Gemara is actually quite very terse. It says, "Ubeplukta Rabbi Yochanan Rabbi Shimon Lakish." The Gemara here is referring to that which we learned in the seventh parak. Rashi on the second line from the top says, "Ubeplukta Rabbi Yochanan Rabbi Shimon Lakish." The Flugi, they had an argument, be a dios mechavkos. The fact that you became aware of things separately, does that make you chayav two separate chatois? So, with regard to that machlokas that you see in Paraklagonal, iflugi nami Rav Sheshes, Rav Ashi, Ocha. Rav Sheshes, Rav Ashi, in our Gemara that are arguing about that. Rav Sheshes, Rashi says, the lo muki lo ochi, kosavar de ein yidios machalkos. Rav Sheshes, who doesn't set it up like that, so he holds that yidios, the fact that I became aware of things separately, would not cause me to bring separate chatois. Rav Ashi Sovar Yedios Mechakos. Rav Ashi takes the stance that Yedios, becoming aware of something separately, is Mechalek, makes me to bring separate Chatois. According to the Shita that says, Ein Yedios Mechakos, so if one, let us say, were to have brought a sacrifice for one of the items, and after bringing the sacrifice, he became aware of the second item, then he would have to bring two separate korbanos. It's not the yidios and mechakos, but it's the fact that you brought a sacrifice or that you set aside a sacrifice is what's mechalik. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.